Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. I am Sarah Denny.
And I am Sister Tracy.
And we're so thankful to have you joining us again today. We are going to together go on the adventure of love and responsibility.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot last time about love. We would like today to bridge it to, you know, what does that look like in terms of the word responsibility? But first, we thought it would be important to go back to the beginning of why the heck?
Why love anyway?
Talking about this anyway?
What's love got to do with it?
What's love? Yeah, exactly. So,
Tina Turner always comes up in these discussions.
Does. So, you know, of course, when we're talking about, okay, we're daughters of the Father and we want to love, sometimes we think, okay, let's just back up for a second, zoom out. What the heck does that mean?
Let me tell you what I thought love was. When I was in school, I always thought it was just the whole falling in love thing because all the movies ended when they got married.
Dun, da, da.
So it's like life ends if you get married.
Yeah, they ride off into the sunset. Where do they go?
But I don't even know what that is. It's zero for me.
Right.
You know, so all I knew was love must be the falling and the oh my gosh and the attraction, you know?
Yes, which are all really good things. Mm-hmm. And the gift of this work for John Paul II is that he's all about keep going. He's like, yes, good.
That's
don't
part
stop
of
there.
The
Do
big
not stop
picture.
There. Exactly.
But he's very much about the big picture.
He is about the big picture. And I think that is the gift. And so he's really pushing through, okay, but those desires and attractions and excitement, I don't care who you are on the planet, you are a human being. It will fade. So what do we do? How do we, in a certain sense, I want to say, invest in the love and the people that we have in our lives in such a way that when it's not all glitz and glam and feels great, we can remain standing strong. And I think the only way that we can even have any meaning about that is to go back to where does this come from in the beginning? This is about communion, but communion with whom? And if we're talking about an authentic communion, it's always, in every case, going to be based upon the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And we
Trinity.
Can just say, just from a human perspective, from a human level, like the world longs for communion. Human beings long for communion. We're all about relationships.
Yes.
We're all about getting together. We're all about, you know, not being alone. You know, it is not good. In Genesis, we hear it is not good
that
he is alone.
Yes, that is a word of truth that is still there. And
right?
So it's all these things that are around us, all these created goods. What they ultimately are they're little gifts that they can do one of two things. We can either look at them and they become our idols and our God, and we give everything, allow them almost to consume us in our focus, or we realize that they are the gift. And if they are the gift, then there must be a gift giver, and allow them to orient our vision back
to
the one.
The one.
AKA God.
The big G.
And so where does this come from? Where does this understanding that we are only capable of being our most full selves and giving a gift of ourselves? And it comes from this sort of understanding that we've talked about before, right?
Slow down. Say that again. What did you just say?
Because
you say that a lot.
Okay, so
but we need to know
how
what you
do
meant.
How do we understand what it means when I say the only way I can become most fully myself is by giving a gift of myself. And I'll say in my experience, sometimes I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't want to give a gift of myself. Like,
yeah,
come on.
gimme.
But the beauty is that even when sometimes our giving a gift of ourself is literally just showing up. I'm at work. I don't have much to say. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to smile. But don't ask me questions right now.
as one of our sisters says, sometimes she has to show up, but she knows that she's not fit for public consumption.
And so truly,
sometimes
like that's what it is, though. It's like, okay, I am called to give a gift of myself, not because God is like trying to drain me and have me pour out, as much as he's like, no. I just don't want you to get sometimes so wrapped up in your own world that you forget that you come alive as a person when you are present to the gifts of people around you.
I can tell you a little story about that.
Yeah,
I was a friend.
Do.
There was a friend of ours when I was stationed in Chicago. He would come in. He was so funny. He was like this great guy who'd come in a book center and he would shop, but he would always get annoyed with us because our books were out of alphabetical order. So he'd be like kind of mad and reordering our books. But one time he told me a story that he had had this attack, and it was this medical thing, and they were kind of intubating him in the emergency room. And he said one of his biggest fears, I think he had asthma, so one of his greatest fears in life was that he was going to suffocate to death. Mm-hmm. And as they're intubating him, it wasn't going well. It wasn't happening. And he was slowly, slowly feeling like, I'm dying. Mm-hmm. And he said he got so agitated that he could hear the workers around him like talking about his heart rate and like it was not good. And he said he feels it was his angel, his guardian angel, whisper to him, start praying for everyone you see. And so he started singling out like the nurses, the technicians, the all the people in the emergency room. And he just started praying for them. And he said to me, sister, that day I learned what it means to lose yourself in caring about other people. Mm-hmm. And he it allowed him to calm down and to receive what they were trying to do, you know, was to help him. And I thought, what a story. Like, the more we give mm-hmm. of ourselves, the more we become
right.
who we are meant to be.
Right.
And the beautiful thing that you're pointing to is that, why is that so? Because we come from a community of love, mm-hmm. the Trinity, who constantly they're in this love exchange mm-hmm. with one another in everything that they are and in everything that they do. It's always to be a gift to the other. Always, you know, how beautiful it is when Jesus talks about the Father mm-hmm. or when he talks about the Spirit, that the Spirit will come to you and it's a gift,
right.
you know? And I think that points us back then to who we are,
yeah.
to what we are called to be and why, because that's what we're meant for in eternity,
right?
Is to live in that communion.
And that's the key too, that we're talking about with all of this is, you know, we're not saying to burn yourselves out and,
right.
and to not take care of yourselves, but to truly, unless we go back to the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which is where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, truly from that communion of love, we were created and intended in this time,
mm-hmm.
we don't have enough within our own hearts to then give ourselves away.
Like
it allows us, first we have to go, not just to reflect the communion of love of the Trinity to the world around us, but we can only do that by first receiving and really just asking them. They're present within us, like through the grace of our baptism.
Amen. Yeah.
But just remembering that they are there and cultivating that space through the silence and the prayer and the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're there for. It's not yeah. for us to like go through the motions. It's for us to more fully become who we are in that space where we are all first and foremost receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then only from that place of receptivity where we have life within us can we then give.
And it's such a crazy thing because it's like, you know, it's a full surrender of my person. Mm-hmm. Now, then that's what we're also talking about. We're not talking about giving things, you know.
Yeah.
We're so used to like thinking, oh, gifts, you know,
right.
gifts are things. But no, we're talking about the personal gift of to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, we can ask ourselves, well, what are the gifts of my person?
Yeah.
What is my richness that I alone have?
And I think that actually, every single person listening, I invite you tonight at some point today, whenever you're listening to this, before you go to sleep, pray that prayer. Ask the Lord, like, what is the richness that you have entrusted within me?
Yeah.
What is it about me, Lord, that in your creation of me, you delight in?
I like to think of it as, and when I invite people to think about it, it's to ask them to, you know, look at your day and what are the things that you were engaged in during the day that actually gave you life? Like
yeah.
you started doing them and all of a sudden you're like, I'm awake. I didn't even need coffee for this.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's other things that we do that it's like, oh my gosh, drain the life right out of me, you know, make it just pulls whatever life you mm-hmm. had. Knowing those things about yourself, then you can actually pursue that building up, which is many actually people say it's like the personal vocation, the vocation to be a person.
Yes.
What is my personal vocation? How am I called to build up that inner richness that I already have? But it, you know, if something's not growing, it's going backwards.
Right.
So if I'm not growing, if I'm not being built up, then I'm being diminished.
Exactly.
So what is it? What are the things that I can do to constantly build up my person?
And so, you know, as we're talking about this and we're thinking about the Trinity and making a gift of ourselves, we just wanted this to be sort of this foundation to remind you, like, what the Lord desires for each of us is abundance.
Yeah.
And joy.
Mm.
He's not just in the business of, like, mediocrity.
Yeah.
He's in the business
or taking
business
from us.
Yeah. He only invites us to this gift of self because he wants us to receive his own love through the love of those around us.
Yeah.
And that's what we mean by communion. That's what we acknowledge is like the desire within our own hearts.
Yeah.
And as we're talking about all these things, Sister and I are just reflecting on the power of, as we've mentioned in other shows, how do I learn how to be at home within myself? Like, we've talked about that, and mm-hmm. we've talked about it in terms of prayer, but like, what's an image? And I know, Sister, I think you have a story to share that can like kind of give us this idea, a visual to accompany us in trying to understand what it means like to be at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we definitely, you know, struggle with that. I reflect on this all the time because I see, you know, we're always with our devices. We're mm-hmm. always being mediated or mediating our communications. And sometimes we're putting faces to it, right?
Right.
We're saying, man, I'm so happy today. Look at me. And then the rest of the day was the pits, but we didn't take a picture of that.
Yeah.
The happy moment reel. In yeah. front of the spaghetti. But, you know, I was thinking about that. Like, when I was growing up, and this was not that long ago, but it was, you know, long enough where, you know, we didn't have these personal devices. Uh-huh. And on Sundays, my family, we would go to my grandmother's house. And my grandfather and my grandmother lived in a wood frame house, a teeny tiny house. But everybody went to their house. Why? Because grandma made some awesome fried chicken on Sundays. So we would go, everybody would eat. And the afternoon, I mean, there's our summer Sundays in South Louisiana.
Yeah,
we go hot. Sit on a porch. Two of my aunts had fly swatters. And we sat there. Sometimes we talked. Sometimes we didn't. But we were swatting some flies. And just like if somebody was walking by on the street in front of the house, we waved at them. Sometimes yeah. they'd stop. You never knew. But the thing was that we were okay with being quiet. And we were okay with interacting, and nobody had to perform for anybody else.
Yeah, I think that's a huge key, is like not having to perform.
And I'm not going to tell you it was all happy, happy, because there sure were times where I was bored out of my mind,
sure
y'all,
were.
Bored. But it taught me that, you know, you don't have to constantly get or be fed or be consuming to be happy. How many Sundays we look at Sunday like a long day to go shopping,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, really, why can't I just be
that is
here?
Such and that's all of us, myself mm-hmm. included, we're like, we're in this space and we're like
what
uncomfortable in our own skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that the gift is like, I love adventure, I love to travel, I love to go da da da, but the reality is that just because I'm bored sometimes doesn't mean it's a bad day.
Yeah.
Just because I'm bored sometimes doesn't mean that I'm not fully alive. Sometimes being fully alive means you're sitting on your front porch with your family members and you're bored.
And maybe that means that I could go take a walk without my phone,
mm-hmm.
without something in my ears, and just look at the clouds.
Yeah.
Look at the trees. Look at the birds. And actually be fed. That's a different form of consumerism.
Yeah,
because that actually regenerates us.
Right.
Versus when you walk into a mall, you're not quite sure what you need. You just start looking around.
Right.
That's a weird kind of, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
You almost feel like you just have to buy
not weird.
Something.
I mean, it's part of what we,
yeah.
that's how it is. But so I think it's really good that we kind of break this down because all of us live this,
mm-hmm.
but to put names to it and to see how this can catapult us into a better living of our life so that when we make the gift of ourselves, we make it more consciously, more fully, and with a little bit more freedom.
Yep. And so as we delve more into the topic of authentic communion, we're going to take a break, but we'll see you on the other side.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church. After a series of personal tragedies, I really felt a need to come home to a church, and that's when I came back to the Catholic Church. I never realized before that we get, at every Mass, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Gospel. I never realized before, it's all biblically based. The Catholic Church is based on the Bible. This is the church that Christ started. And we practice all the sacraments as he gave them to us. And I think that's important. I love getting up and going to church. I love going to Mass. I feel like I get to go to Mass, not like I have to go to Mass. The joy, I have joy in my spirit. I have a lightness in my spirit that I haven't had before. I love the Catholic Church with all my heart. And I can't imagine my life without it. My life is totally different now.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah. I am Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy. We have been having a great little segment today talking about just what it means to love, to be called to be a gift. Why is it that we find ourselves through this giving of ourselves? It seems so kind of dichotomous and maybe a little odd when we talk about it, but I think our experience tells us that it's true. Mm-hmm. And we are called to this greatness. And I know that many times we can look at the Christian calling and even the what Jesus shows us through his own life about how to live our true human life, and we can say, yeah, he did it, that's great, but it was too hard. It's too hard for me. And so we do have to kind of come to terms with the fact that many times the ideal that we aspire to doesn't really match what we're actually living.
Right.
And we kind of talked about that a little bit in my story, you know, about the fact that, yeah, that was a Sunday afternoon, but man, I was bored a lot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it built me.
It
like,
did.
I can look back on those moments and see that it wasn't wasted. It wasn't Amen. Just a bunch of dead flies. Right?
Right.
There was something in being that in that human space together with other people. Mm-hmm. Just being together and being human with one another somehow does build us up and enable us to also be present and a gift to another.
And I think too, like we were talking a lot about the Trinity, and it really does reflect back to this sort of understanding that we get to participate in creation, and not just a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, by begetting life first from within, fostering it, and then sharing it. And what we mean by that is like this, with everything we're talking about with Sister and her story, it's recreative. Like when we say recreation, I think that's the question we can all ask ourselves. Like, what have I done lately? And that's important.
No joke.
What do I give myself time for recreation or do I not? And understand that recreation is not pass the time because I'm bored and just go like, numb.
Yeah. Yeah.
But truly, is this something that fosters a life within me that I come from this space and I now maybe not feel more rested physically? Sometimes you still need to sleep, but you feel more alive, like you feel more free to just breathe.
Yeah. To be recreated.
Yes.
To be created again. And I think that, you know, the church, those of us who are Christians, who are believers, there is a day in the week that we are actually asked to rest with the Creator.
It's like God had a plan.
You would think, you know.
He told and us it's important.
So to really take that to heart and to almost look at it like, wow, what are the things that I can be doing to be recreated and rejuvenated in my so that my week I can really work when I'm working and I can really be with a person when I'm with a person.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, especially in today's culture.
No, it's not easy because there's so much that can kind of distract us. And with that, when we talk about distractions too, I think, you know, we've used the word disillusionment and we've kind of talked about it, but I know we wanted to dive in a little bit more deeply into that, because we can get so caught up in maybe the way we think things are supposed to be, or that lovely word of should.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
That we really lose out on the presence and the beauty of the moment and reality.
Yeah, and there's no secret that, you know, if you got a problem, bail. I mean, that's kind of the little slogan that
the
gets tossed around
culture, yeah,
in any possible way, form. You know, you don't like this, you can leave, you can get out. And we always sort of like, you know, there are a lot of ways that we sort of provide our own little loopholes, or we a little escape route. You know, if I'm not liking this, I'm leaving.
The GPS on Siri, like, turn around, rerouting.
You know, I don't know where you're going now. So that's part of the human quest. Is why is it that in the giving of myself, that there's this level of fidelity, of faithfulness, where Even in small things, maybe I haven't taken the plunge and you know, gotten married, or I'm not at an about state at this point, or whatever. But I can be living in such a way that prepares me to stick it out, even if I am not in the ideal situation.
Right.
even though, like, and I know a lot of people that work in Hollywood, they are actors. They know how story arches go. They, yeah. you know, the build up and then the climactic high point and then it ends. And they'll tell you more often than not, like the life that they live, they are in a constant state of waiting. And you know, it's not a fulfillment because they're a part of a much bigger thing. So they don't even enjoy the whole art of the story, of the arc of the story. Like, they're just a part of it. So if the actors who portray these stories don't even get it, imagine. Why do we think, just by watching them, that it's supposed to be telling us that this is the way life really is?
Right.
Life is really messy. Mm-hmm. And many times, ideals are great, and they give us a direction, they give us a like a trajectory, as we said before, but that's not the end all and be all. There's something about our reality, the actual thing that we're living, that can really direct us into a depth. So it's not like I'm just living up, but I'm kind of trying to live with my feet planted and grounded and rooted. And oftentimes, if we live out of a lie, we find ourselves in this cycle, cyclic state where we're just striving and you know, grasping.
Yeah.
Whereas if I am with my 2 feet planted and I can actually allow life to come and I can stay even when it's difficult, then there's something that then I am actually becoming more a person. I'm becoming more real.
Yeah.
I am truly being built up in a sense, recreated. Uh-huh. So there's a rest there as well.
There's that word again that we used a lot in the beginning of the show is like self-possession. Like you start to know and rest in the reality of the gifts of who you are. And that beautiful thing really comes through even when we said disillusionment before. Like, sometimes we get disillusioned with ourselves, you know? And like, that's good.
Yeah.
That humility that we come to not expect ourselves to be other than who we are, which is imperfect humans that are built upon grace. And so then we have the hope that not only for us, but for those that we love, that there is more. Mm-hmm. There's always more. And I just really feel that call, you know, as we're talking on this show, for like abundance. Like, the Father desires life in abundance. He doesn't just desire us to get by or to try it or survive.
Yeah.
He really wants us to be, again, not this like superficial emotion all the time that we're on the high, but to sort of recalibrate our thinking away from this sort of Hollywood understanding like you're talking about, sister, and to realize that the beautiful is the good, is the messy, is the real, is the human.
Yeah. And that anything that's living is going to change.
Yes.
Boom.
Man, I don't like change.
It just happens, right?
I don't like it very much
and
at all.
Yeah, part of us don't, if we just hate it.
And yet it and is constantly. It. Yeah. And
it's
I remember
happening.
In this work, the beautiful thing is John Paul II talks a lot about, we shouldn't ever really talk about, like, when we talk about human love, that it is as much as it is becoming.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about two human people in seasons in life, especially the closer they come to another, especially in something like marriage. You're having to live your reality of your life with each other.
Yeah.
And to allow, truly, if love is like a playful thing because it has its own life force, then it's something that you don't want to pigeonhole or box in or hold down. You want to allow it, if it's creative, to come forth and to spring forth and to be that abundance that we're hoping for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, as we're just talking about all of these things, I'm sure all of you in your own lives have had experiences where you love another person, whether you're really close or far away, and you're in that moment of disillusionment and you're like, dang it, that was really fun while it lasted that I thought
well,
that you'd
happened?
Be in a certain way, but what happened? And we just want to speak out the message of, you know, like, if true love casts out all fear, there's no need to be afraid when those things happen. Like, if you're in a relationship or a friendship with someone and you're starting to be disillusioned, of course, you have to ask the questions of like healthy boundaries.
Okay,
and like,
yes.
And I think maybe that's something we can go into.
I know. I think I was thinking of that as we were talking, you know, yes, people can change, relationships, you know, evolve and change. But we're not talking about staying at all costs. Remember back when we talked about love, ti voglio bene, I want the good of the other, but I also want the good, my true good. And so I sometimes have to look at, a situation, what if there's abuse? What mm-hmm. if there's something happening that is tearing the person down in her freedom, tearing her down in her ability to choose and to live and to just exist, you
right,
know?
Right.
Those things are very real, and we're not diminishing them in any way. And of course, there's no general answer.
Of course.
But to be attentive and to kind of, again, replace the context or the situation in the whole and ask those questions. Is this truly serving the good? And if it isn't, what needs to happen so that people can find their growth, their safety? Sometimes it is a matter of getting help. It's a matter of finding resources, like, what are my options?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't diminish the fact that sometimes there are real situations where the change is abusive.
Yes.
And we don't want to neglect mentioning that is something where we also, again, we're talking about the responsibility.
Right.
I am responsible not only for the other, but for my own.
Most especially for my own self. Yeah. And in loving myself in that way, I'm actually loving the other.
Of course.
Right. Sometimes drawing a line and saying no, and honestly, even sometimes cutting off a relationship.
Yes.
That is something that can be the most loving for another person.
Right. Right. Yeah. And we can only, you know, in humility, submit that before the Lord and ask him for his grace to walk through that path.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, we just want to bring all these things together and kind of enter a moment just of prayer. And there's a scripture verse the whole time we've been talking. John 10:10 just comes up again and again. And this is where the Lord says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so, Father, we just ask right now that you would just pour your spirit into our hearts, into our minds, Lord. We ask again that you would just, from within, Lord, just shine your light into all those places that are dark or struggling. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts and the relationships in our lives. Lord, we ask those questions to you right now. Lord, where are the places in my life that I need you to come into? What relationships am I struggling with? Lord, are there places, or maybe is there a person or relationship that I need you to really speak your wisdom into, Lord? Is there any space in which I'm consenting? I'm forgetting maybe my own gift and my own value and allowing myself to be treated in a way that's not healthy. Or Lord, maybe there's a place where I am taking advantage of or not respecting the freedom or the gift of those that I am in communion with, Lord. And so we just ask an abundance of blessings of your spirit upon our relationships with men, with women, with family, with those that we've just met, and we just ask that you would come into that place, Lord, and just be with us and rest there.
And so, Lord, we ask you that we might be inspired by your grace to hold ourselves as gently as you do,
yes,
to hold ourselves with love and compassion, and all those that we love, that we present them to you, asking you to bless them, and also to give us peace, to give us patience, your compassion, so that in all of the changes and all of the evolving that we do as human persons, that you would allow us to just walk with you, with your heart, with our ear close to your heart, so that we can really answer our call to be human and to love. And so we thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.